Good to see everybody out this morning. If you got your Bibles, you can go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at verses 5 through 10. We'll get there in a minute. I am finishing a sermon series, Stuck. And today's sermon is Stuck Without an Identity. And I'm going to tell you how to secure it. Let's go back. I'll switch back to you in a minute, Monica. I want to show you how to secure your identity in Christ Jesus. And I want to show you how to be yourself and live out what God's called you to live. All right? Father, we thank you for this time in the Word. I pray that hearts are open to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. This one hit me like a ton of bricks this week as I was studying for it, and I pray that it touches you as well. Here's the thing. Knowing who you are is one of the most important things you could ever do in life. You might as well be you. Everybody else is taken. All right? Be the person God created you to be. Here's the challenge. When you have no identity, it causes you to defend what you should be using. Here's a challenge. No matter how hard I try, I cannot change you. I can try with everything in my power to change you to be what I want you to be, but it will not work. Even if you did what I wanted you to do, it would never change who you are. So with that thought in mind, I always approach a place looking to serve and build versus looking not to be changed. A lot of us approach situations, they ain't gonna change me. This is who I am. Man, look around this room. We're all different. Big, tall, little, big noses, little noses. All kind of stuff going on around here. And God wants you to be authentically you, but he wants us all to flow together. So here's my commitment to God. God, I'm gonna lead with who I am and not with what I can do. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Hey, Monica, you can pull it up there. It'll be on your screen. It's one of my favorite scriptures that I love. And it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Ain't that a great thing about God? Yeah, God makes no mistakes. How you got here may have not been planned, but God planned your existence. Do you not know as a one? Can every lady wave your hand at me? Do you know that you were born with every egg from the time you were born to now that you'll ever have? No new eggs were added to your body. So God planned everything on purpose. Now, how you decided to bring that into the world, it may have not been planned, but God planned your existence. Somebody say, God makes no mistakes. So before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. You have the next? It says, then, this is what Jeremiah said, got to back to God. He said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. Here's where we're going to get going at. Your identity first comes from God. So God gives everything that was born an identity. When I lead people to the Lord, whenever we get to doing a sinner's prayer, I say, close your eyes and bow your head and answer me this question. I say, who are you? And they'll tell me, I'm an encourager, I'm a dad, I'm a mom. I said, no. Who does your spirit say you are? And they stop and they say, I'm a child of God. Romans 8:16 says this, his spirit bears our witness with our spirit that we're children of God. All of us in here are children of God. Red, yellow, black, and white, we sing it, we're all precious in his sight. Every single last one of us, regardless of race or color, are children of God. So God gives you an identity, and then God gives you a purpose. But let me say this, every person has a purpose, but every person brings gifts to the table. But not only do we bring gifts, we bring issues. Look at your neighbor and say, you got issues. Tell him I didn't say issue. Tell him I said issues. Carry it on out. Your purpose shapes how you'll use your gifts, and it explains why you have the issues that you have. Your issues are not a mistake. Your issues are designed to cause you to abort your purpose. But your identity doesn't come from your gift, nor does it come from your issue. Your identity comes from God who gives you purpose. Let me explain it this way. You are born with an identity. God formed you in the womb. That's what he told Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Identity. Then he gives you a purpose. And before you were born, I consecrated you and have appointed you a prophet to the nations. God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet. He appointed you to be something, whether you are a teacher, whether you're an advocate, whether you are a helper or a builder, whatever you are, you have purpose. Somebody say, I have purpose. So God gives every person a purpose. Then every person has issues. with the S on the end. Then he said this. Jeremiah said back to God, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I'm a youth." Just because you have an issue doesn't disqualify you from walking in purpose, nor does it disqualify you from operating in your gift. Every person is born with issues, and the issue is to cause you to abort your purpose. It's right there on the screen. Here's God's response back to Jeremiah. It said, "But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." That's good news right there. God is going to deliver me out of every situation. Your issues, though big or small, they don't disqualify you from walking in your purpose. But to be successful in life, all of us have to own our issues. You can't blame your issues on anybody else, because your response is your responsibility. But I got to deal with my issue so it doesn't become your issue. The challenge is my issue can be the filter by which I see life. My issue can weaken my faith. Do you know how many people have wrote books, songs, conferences, birthed out of an issue and not out of purpose? And it's the filter by which we see things in an off manner. Whenever you do something, it's never a reaction to what you see. God always birthed things out of purpose. I love Jasmine Sullivan. I don't know if y'all knew that. I love Jasmine Sullivan. But she got issues. She's talking about she'll bust your windows out and doing stuff to doors and keying cars. And she got issues. Sound good. But that's something you never want to experience. A lot of stuff that we have that sounds good is not from a good place. Is that all right? Not only do you have issues, but you have a gift. Here's what the Lord said to Jeremiah. He said, "The Lord stretched out his hand, touched Jeremiah's mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. I've appointed you this day over the nations, over the kingdom. Pluck up to break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." God said, "I give you a purpose. You have issues to abort that purpose, but you're going to overcome those. But I've given you a gift to accomplish your purpose." Here's the challenge in life. People form their life's purpose based off their gift or their issue. When you don't know who you are, you become known by what you do. That's the smart one. That's the one that dances. That's the one that sings. That's the one that owns a business. That's what you do. That's not who you are. And if you are insecure, you will gravitate towards the crowd that celebrates your gift but doesn't know your purpose. Or we can err on the other side. We become known by our issues. Don't mess with her. She's crazy. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Every little thing offends him. And you become known by your issues. But after a while, you settle in and say, "I'm a child of God. Yes, I got issues, but I got gifts to accomplish my purpose. And I will not abort my purpose just because I got issues." I used to work out. Somebody said he used to. I need to get back to it. When I lived in Cool Springs, I worked out. And there was this well-known, celebrated singer. And I could tell me and my buddy working out, I could tell he wanted to work out with us and come talk to us. And instead of coming over, what he did when we went in the locker room, he started singing. And it sung loud. And my buddy said, "He's singing, ain't he?" I said, "He wants you to ask who he is." And my buddy said, "Who is he?" He had no clue who he was. And I said, "Look him up." I told him his name, and he was right there on Google. And here's the reality. That guy, talked to him. Man, he said, "Man, people don't gravitate to you because of who you are. They only like you because you got money. They only like you because you sing." And I'm thinking in my head, well, that's the only thing you put out there for people to connect with. Instead of just saying, "Hey, I'm in here by myself. Can I work out with you all?" This joker decided to sing, which was a little weird, in the bath, in the locker room. How many of us hide behind our issue or our gift instead of just being who we are? Can I show you how your issues can mess up things? Carrie, do you mind coming? Jar, you mind coming right here? I'm going to move this out of the way for a second. Carrie is, this is his purpose, is to be a giver. He's a philanthropist. I got that right this time. Carrie has left Magic City, and he's coming, taking his money to the Lord. Now, look up Magic City. So watch this. With every purpose, with every vision, God always gives gifts and provision. So because he is a giver, he always has to have resources or money, not to just waste, but to fund the kingdom. But here's the challenge. He also has issues. Toilet tissue represents the issues. His issue is he is not patient. That's his issue. His purpose, giver. Gift, money. Issue, impatient. He encounters Jari, who is a baker. Jari's purpose is to equip the masses through food, and he does a tremendous job. So he bakes cakes, but here's the challenge. Jari also has issues. Jari can't focus on anything. He's stubborn. He doesn't listen. He has all the answers, don't know the questions. He's just one of those guys that's all over the place. Carrie experiences Jari's goodness. Anybody like Julius Baker in here? Michelle, you had your hand up first. They had a mint chocolate bundt cake with an Andes mint on the top. Somebody say praise the Lord. Carrie experiences what Jari can do and says, I want to put you all around the world. He has the resources. He has the talent. And they say, let's do this. The only challenge is Jari wants to do everything, not just the one thing he's good at. So Carrie says, let's focus on bundt cakes. And Jari says, hold on. Now the tension rises. Just because you got money, you cannot control me. So now the issues start to rise. And when issues start to rise, gifts get put down and purpose is forsaken. So Jari now spreads his issue to Carrie. Carrie shares his issue to Jari. Notice now spiritual warfare starts to happen because it's not about their gifts. Now the focus, the center of attention is their issue. And all Satan needs is a window. And so what he sees is, oh, I got him now. And the next thing they know, I don't know how this is going to work out. They wake up, pull it. They wake up in a bunch of mess. Somebody say issues. Carrie says, I got resources. I ain't got to fool with this. He says, I'm gifted. I ain't got to be controlled by you. So they lay their gifts, issues down, pick up their gifts, and they go their own way. What happens is they leave a mess and forsake their purpose. How many of us have lost sight of, thank you guys, purpose? Because you are fighting over issues and you have laid your gifts down. And somebody is not, watch it. Oh, I thought Phil was stealing it from you, Michelle. You do know, can I preach that? You do know that what is what happened. When you so wrapped up in your issues and so caught up in your gifts, what you're supposed to do, God will raise somebody else up to do it. And I told God, I'm not going to let my issues cause me to abort my purpose. I'm going to get my issues under control. I'm going to master my gift, so I'm not going to watch somebody on TV doing what I'm supposed to do. Have you ever seen somebody doing something and said, that was in my heart? I should have did it. You know why you didn't do it? It's because of issues. Consume your life. But I told God, Michelle, you want it? I told God. And watch this. God wants to spread you out around the world. Can I speak something to your spirit? What's holding back your success is not your gift. What's holding back your success is not your purpose. What's holding back your success, if I were through, I'd just drop it and walk out the door. What's holding back your success is your inability to master your issues. Because in every great setting you go into, you take you with you. And your issues, if you don't control them, will act up, and you can blame people all you want, but I have to master my, that makes sense in here? Issues. The next thing is this. Your identity, your real identity, produces trust. You and I should spend our life getting to know the authentic you. When you do this, it causes you to focus on this. When you know who you are, you're focused more on being real than you are being right. People trust what's real. The reason why I'm going to be honest with you up here and be transparent is that I'm going to let you know I got some Me Too moments just like you. That we are all going in the same direction. We all have issues, but I'm not going to stop living out my purpose because I got issues, because God has given me gifts. So I'm going to be focused on being real, because watch this. When people trust you, their wall comes down. If you paint this picture-perfect thing that everything is great in your life, and I ain't telling you walk around with breath stinking and hair all over the place, but be honest about where you are. People trust what's real over what's right, because watch this. What good is it to have all the answers and nobody will ask you a question? If you make people feel dumb for coming to you and like, you don't know that. You don't know everything. So when I am real, I create an atmosphere for grace. Let me tell you something. People give a whole lot more grace to people they trust than the people they don't. If you try to paint this picture-perfect image like you always right and stuff is just never wrong in your life, you are putting yourself on a pedestal only to be taken down. There's only one God. He has only one Son, Jesus, and His Holy Spirit is living in you, because you are not perfect, and you need that leading and guiding every day. So let's put this picture of perfect perfection out of our minds and say, let's be real. Look at your neighbor and say, let's be real.
Let's be real.
I was watching. I don't know if it's even right. I was watching this preacher preach, and his teeth fell out. And the congregation fell out laughing. He picked him up and put him back in. They loved him. I bet he had about five people want to do the same thing, take theirs out too. And they want to say, me too. When you are honest and you live through your mistakes, let people know I'm human. I had a bad day yesterday. I should not have said that. Own it and move on. The next thing is this. When you have a real identity, it causes you to be confident. Your identity produces confidence and not arrogance. Confidence wants to be effective. Arrogance wants to be impressive. And I am consumed with being effective more than I am being impressive. The source of arrogance is in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. It says this, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we have all knowledge, but knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Confidence has something to give because it has this revelation of what God can do. Arrogance takes away from the environment because it puts all the focus on your gifts. It puts all the focus on you and what you can do. But confidence says, I have purpose with the gift, and I'm going to build the kingdom. Arrogance, this is not John 3:16. This is Jason 1:1. I think one of the worst things that can happen to an arrogant person is they experience a little bit of success. Because that success goes to your head, and instead of it making you hungry and humble, it causes you to be full of yourself, and failure is soon to follow behind that. And what happens in failure is you finally break down and ask somebody a question, and you figure out, I don't know as much as I thought I knew. One of the worst preaching experiences of my life. I thought I was walking in confident. I fasted, prayed. I was serious about preaching. I would lay before God. And I walked in, Keith, give me some deep music. Like, we just deep. That's how they were. We were in the pulpit. I walked behind the pastor, all deep. We both kneeled down and prayed.
Yes, sir.
I got out and praised the Lord, everybody. And then the whole service, I was as deep. Come on, Keith, give it to me. I was as deep as they came. Oh, and when I got to the rostrum, praise the Lord, saints, I turned into every YouTube preacher I'd ever watched. I turned into everybody. I mean, I was so arrogant, and it bombed. I mean, it was bad. I mean, when I say it, yeah, bad. Bad. I was up there preaching. Folks were walking out. Babies didn't even cry. They were just sitting there looking. I mean, you know, normally babies just get, they just sitting there, Lord, bless him. The mothers, you know, mothers at church, they just pray for you. Lord, bless him, Jesus, bless him. That didn't work. It didn't help. I was arrogant. And when I got finished, I was in the back in the office with the pastor. And he could tell I was defeated. And I said, man, can I be honest with you? I said, what could I have done different? He said something to me I'll never forget. He said, if you would have walked as humbly in the pulpit as you did out of the pulpit, it would have went a whole lot better. He said, you walked in full of yourself, but you walked out empty. Life is the same way. Confidence looks to build, and it's not about you. It's about what you're carrying. Arrogance is all about you. It's all about what I can do. And arrogance, as soon as it doesn't get its way, picks up its issues and takes its gift, and it just creates havoc. But when you have your real identity, you have confidence in God, and you want to share it everywhere you go. The last thing is this, and I'm through. Your purpose flows from your identity through a produce and a release process. How many of y'all love movies in here? I want to go see Marshall. I think it's out, Thurgood Marshall. Now, can y'all tell me, y'all a smart crowd. When the movie gets to the movie theater, are they still making it or is it already made? So by the time they get it, they just ready to release it. Am I right about it? You know what God does? He is producing in your quiet moments. He's putting your purpose in you. He's letting you know your issues. He's showing you your gifts. And he wants what you do to get in your heart, to get in your spirit, so that when game time comes, for me, Sunday morning is game time. And it is not a time for me to get anxiety. It is not time for me to get in controlling. It is a time for me to release and trust the process that God has put me through. And here's the thing about God. God does not produce anything that busts. Everything that God produces is a sellout. And God wants your life, when a sellout, not in a bad way, but a sellout in a way that God wants people to flood who you are for miles so they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So what God wants you to do is just meditate. What is my purpose? Master your gifts when nobody's watching. If you're an athlete, you're in the gym when nobody's in there. You're competing when nobody's there. If it's on your job, you're studying. You're learning things that nobody's telling you to learn. And you're trusting the quiet moments. You're trusting doing right when nobody else is looking. And you're trusting that process that when my day comes, I'm not nervous. I'm going to release everything inside of me. Do I have any teachers in the room? Teachers. Can y'all talk during the test? Y'all ain't supposed to, maybe. Y'all not supposed to talk during the test, right? If the kid asks you a question, you're supposed to let him just take the test, right? Do you know when God is silent in your life? When you're being tested. He's silent because he knows he's prepared you for this moment. And he said, I'm waiting on everything I put in you to be released. So if God's not nervous, and if God has the nerve to be silent, you ought to have the nerve to trust what God put in you and release it right in this moment. Close with this one. I do FCA for a tremendous coach, and I watched during their practices. Man, he's owned them guys. They can't miss a drill. If it's a closeout, you better close out accurately every single time. I mean, he's tough on those guys in practice. I mean, you mess up, you're running. I don't care if you're the star or you're just nobody on the team, basically. I don't mean that way. You know what I mean. And I said, man, and I was waiting to get in the locker room for the pregame speech. Man, he got in there for the pregame speech, and he walked in there laughing, just joking. I said, wait a minute. He said, guys, I need you hooping today. I need you to relax. I need it just flowing out of you. I need you to play with joy. I need to see you smiling. I said, wait a minute. Wait. This is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. In practice, you were on it like nobody's business. But you get in the locker room, want them to relax. Afterwards, I asked him a question. I said, man, why are you this way in practice? Why are you this way at the game? He said, because I know by the time we get to the game, I'm trusting that I prepared them for this moment. And I know that they got the ability to correct their mistakes. They know their game plan. I don't want them uptight. I don't want them just nervous looking at me wondering, am I messing up? No, I want them focused on the game. And God is doing you the same way. Whatever stress you're going through, God has prepared you for this moment. I need you to step back, say it is well with my soul. I need you to trust God, and I want you to release, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Stand to your feet. I want you to be real. I want you to trust God's process, and I want you to release everything God placed inside of you.